Good morning and welcome to St. Margaret's. It's the sun is shining, so that's wonderful. So before we get going, we've got a few notices. Harvest Supper is coming up on Saturday the 5th of October. We now have sign-up sheets for absolutely everything. Sign up to say you're coming. If you are able to help with either setting up, serving, or clearing up afterwards, then please sign up for that. If you would like to cook one of the dishes, then again, there is another sign-up form. Forms are either in the porch, in the sanctuary, or you can ring Emma at the village hall if you'd like to do that. So please, please sign up so we get an idea of numbers as soon as possible. On Saturday the 12th of October, we're proposing to have in the sanctuary, so Saturday afternoon, grave talk. It's a sort of informal cafe type thing where we can run chat over things like dying, death, funerals, what happens to all your stuff afterwards, over tea, cake, etc. It's a subject people don't like talking about, but it happens to all of us at some point, and it's just being prepared about it. Now, it has been brought to my attention that I understand the Simpson and Penn surgeries. You probably, if you're on their books, will have had a text message telling you that they're running something on the 3rd of October at Beaconsfield School. But nevertheless, again, there will be a sign-up sheet coming along shortly, but I thought there's just too many sign-up sheets at the moment, so we'll give that another week. But that's something, please, to bear in mind. The only other thing that's going on during this coming week is the dementia support group, which is on Thursday in the sanctuary at 2:30. So if you go along to that, then that's this coming week. So thank you, Deborah, who will be playing the organ for us. Roy is leading us in intercessional prayers this morning. Roger and Christine will be reading from scriptures. And thank you to Sylvia and Alison for giving us a great welcome this morning. So I think we're all ready to start our service. So if you'd please like to stand. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. If you'd like to sit. And we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now, through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
And if you'd like to stand, we'll have our first hymn, which is number 456, O Worship the King. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you now and forever. Amen. And then we've got now Psalm 119. You should have an insert for this, verses 105 to 120. And we do it in, I do the first part and you do the second part. Your word is a lantern to my feet and a light upon my path. I have sworn and will fulfill it to keep your righteous judgments. I am troubled above measure. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord. And teach me your judgments. My soul is ever in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your commandments. Your testimonies have I claimed as my heritage forever, for they are the very joy of my heart. I have applied my heart to fulfill your statutes, always, even to the end. I hate those who are double-minded, but your law do I love. You are my hiding place and my shield, and my hope is in your word. Away from me, you wicked, I will keep the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be disappointed in my hope. Hold me up and I shall be saved, and my delight shall be ever in your statutes. You set at naught those who depart from your statutes, for their deceiving is in vain. You consider all the wicked as dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And if you please like to sit, we will have our Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 44 and 45, beginning to read at verse 24. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by himself, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the prediction of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, and the towns of Judah, they shall be rebuilt, and of their ruins I will restore them. Who says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you will know I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name for the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen. I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you don't acknowledge me. I am the Lord. There is no other. Apart from me, there is no other God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none other besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I am the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteous flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are you,
God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And now we have a reading from the New Testament.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he, that's the dragon, was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They do not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." This is the word of the Lord.
Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And Christ shall give you light. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. If you'd like to please stand, and we'll say together the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel,
who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of the peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Take the words of my lips and the meditations of my mind and use them to your will, O God. Amen. Please sit down. Well, thank you very much to Chris and Roger for those readings. And I can understand their sort of, how on earth do we read these passages, particularly Revelation. But both these scriptures actually work quite well together, because both Isaiah and the writer of Revelation, they're what we call writers in sort of like an apocalyptic style. So let's start actually with Isaiah. One of the enigmas we have from Isaiah is that the prophet is told to speak to a people who will not understand. And he said, go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. It's sort of like it's this fundamental enigma. It's a deliberate muddying of the waters that ultimately leads to profound revelation, a sort of blindness that results in eventual illumination. But it's actually worth considering the whole of Isaiah, not simply at this short passage, and the identity of the prophet we're talking about. Because he is regarded as one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, his name itself meaning the Lord is salvation. He's also one of the best known prophets for his prediction on the coming of the Messiah, the one who would redeem his people from their sins. It's a book of stark contrasts, terrifying warnings of judgment and destruction, alongside uplifting promises of hope and prosperity. The prophet Isaiah played an important role in God's plan. He foretold the Messiah's coming and brought hope to his people during a challenging period. But his promise of hope is not only for the nation of Israel, but it's also for us too. In the book of Isaiah, we see how God works for the good of his children and is sovereign in the worst of circumstances. Not only that, but he is also a just God. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. So, though we are sinful and deserve to be punished, he has provided salvation for us through Jesus Christ, who suffered on our behalf and freed us from our sins. In him, we have hope for eternity. And the other thing about Isaiah is the richness of his language. He uses prose and poetry. And there's this progression and movement through the chapters, peaks and troughs, trauma and joy.
And it's not actually surpassed anywhere else in the Old Testament, so that's why Isaiah actually stands alone in that sense. And he lived during very turbulent times with the rise of the Assyrian Empire and the decline of Israel. He predicts the rise of Cyrus, who was the Persian, whose decree enabled the Jews to return home from their captivity in Babylon, a deliverance prefiguring the greater salvation from sin through Christ. The full dimension of God's judgment and salvation is unveiled. God is the Holy One of Israel, who must punish his rebellious people, but will afterwards redeem them. The people are both blind and deaf, a vineyard that will be trampled, a people devoid of justice or righteousness. The awful judgment that will be delivered upon Israel and all the nations that defy God is called the Day of the Lord. Now that's the day we also associate with the New Testament and the Second Coming and the accompanying judgment, which shapes nicely with our reading from Revelation. Throughout the book, God's judgment is referred to as fire. He is the sovereign Lord, far above all the nations and rulers. And yet God has not abandoned his people. They will be rescued both from political and spiritual oppression. Their restoration is like a new exodus, as God redeems them and saves them. Israel's mighty creator will make streams spring up in the desert as he graciously leads them home. Peace and safety mark this new time. A king, the Messiah, descended from David, will reign in righteousness, and all nations will stream to the holy mountain of Jerusalem. God's people will no longer be oppressed by wicked rulers, and Jerusalem will truly be the city of the Lord. The messianic king is also called by the Lord, my servant, a term similarly applied to Israel as a nation. And it's through this suffering servant that salvation is achieved. God uses Cyrus, who was king of Persia, as his instrument to deliver Israel from Babylon, whereas the promised Messiah would deliver humanity from the prison of sin. He would become a light for the Gentiles so that nations that face judgment would also find salvation and become servants of the Lord. The Lord's kingdom on earth, with its righteous ruler and righteous subjects, is the goal towards which the book of Isaiah steadily moves. The restored earth, a new creation, and the restored people will then conform to the divine ideal, and all will result in the praise and glory of the Holy One of Israel for what has been accomplished. I think one of the struggles we sometimes have with the books in the Bible and why we say we don't understand them is that I think we're tuned in to stories. We like, you know, there's someone gets born, this is their life, and there's lots of fantastic stories throughout the whole of the Old Testament, which we can then understand even if we can't comprehend them. And similarly in the New Testament, there's a sort of progression. You have the story, we have the nativity, Jesus is born, we have his life, death, da-da-da. And you can follow that. You can get a sense of it because that's what we're used to. But when you come to things like Revelation or Isaiah, they're not descriptive. They use this very rich imaginative language that is outside of our understanding. How do you describe dragons and things with like, what are we talking about? And I think that's where we struggle with those. But I think that you have to sort of read it almost in a very, I would say, stand up and deliver it in a very dramatic way. Imagine yourself as a Shakespearean actor and speak it out in dramatic terms. It's not language that you need to read in the literal sense, I think. And if you do it that way, you then probably get a sense of the immensity of what we're talking about, rather than trying to sort of get your head around something that is really, quite frankly, very difficult to get your head around. And one of the other things is that Whereas Revelation rarely quotes directly from the Old Testament, in almost every verse actually alludes to or echoes ideas of older scriptures. And also, in contrast with the Old Testament, the book of Revelation is the only apocalyptic book in the New Testament. And so it occupies what they call a central place in what is termed a Christian eschatology, or a doctrine of the last times. It's a series of prophetic visions, including the ones we have in today's reading, the seven-headed red dragon, the serpent and the beast, which is shorthand for the devil, and culminating in the second coming of Christ. Believing in heaven is the ultimate rebellion against the idea that this world is all there is. And our reading from Revelation reminds us that heaven is not a synonym for the afterlife. God creates the heavens in Genesis 1 so that he can dwell close to his creatures. Revelation 21 promises a recreation of both heaven and earth in which the two are intertwined. God will now make his home among mortals. In the words of John, he will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. Revelation shows the struggles of the persecuted saints to be part of a cosmic battle in this current age. Events in heaven are already intertwined with those on earth. It unmasks the radical nature of evil and the consequent struggle between the death-dealing regime of Babylon and those who bear witness to the Lord of life. Against the impulse to anxious self-improvement, Revelation reminds us that the New Jerusalem is not built by human hands. It must be received as grace, as a gift coming down out of heaven from God. And I think I'd recommend, apart from reading it out loud in a sort of dramatic way, find different versions of it. You know, if you go onto the website Bible Gateway, you can put in a passage and then you have the opportunity further along to opt for which version you're reading it in. So read it in King James, read it in the New King James, read it in NIV, read it in the Revised, and so on. And then each of those versions will give you a different sense of what it is you're reading. But I would recommend that you do project it, read these passages out loud in a very dramatic way, and you might start to get some sense of what it is these passages, which are incomprehensible to us, but do have a wider sense in the whole story of the salvation that are worth pursuing. See, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. They shall not toil in vain nor beget children for sudden destruction. For they shall be a people blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall pasture together, and the lion shall eat hay like the ox. But the serpent's food shall be dust. None shall harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And that's from Isaiah. Amen.
Amen.
If you please like to stand, we will say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we come to our next hymn, which is 194, How Sweet the Name of Jesus, during which the collection will be taken. Please like to sit, and we will come forward with our intercessional prayers.
Lord, we ask for your help in exposing the dangerous false prophets and fools in our world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And rid us, Lord, of the evil dictators who condemn millions to misery. Lord, in your mercy, as the season changes from summer to autumn, we reflect on life's seasons. Help us accept and adapt to the inevitable transitions we face on life's journey. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the young, autumn is a season of excitement, of the journey from school days to university or the world of work. Lord, help them savour and adapt to the new joys and challenges. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And Lord, help those left behind to adapt to the new reality of a child or sibling leaving the nest for life's great adventures. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, Lord, to secure the future of our wonderful St. Margaret's Church, the centre of our community and a focal point in all of our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
And give comfort and aid to those known to us who are in need. We pause to pray for them. Merciful Father, Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And before we say the Lord's Prayer, the collect for today, the 16th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And together we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to stand, we will have our final hymn, number 425, O Lord My God. Consider all. God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.